الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وآل بيته وبارك سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are almost at the end of Ramadan al-Kareem. And if the moon is sighted tonight, then we have Eid tomorrow. And if the moon is not sighted tonight, then we have Eid on the following day in any case. So we have one today's fast, maybe tomorrow. That's it. So it is important for us to take stock of two things. One is, what did we get out of this Ramadan? And two, what are we going to do with ourselves once Ramadan ends? So what did we get out of this Ramadan? I don't want to talk too much about that, because obviously I can't talk about what you got. You have to talk about what you got. And it's important to think of this and say that what you got out of Ramadan would have some relation to what you wanted to get out of Ramadan. So if you began your Ramadan without any plan, then I don't know whether you would have got much, because you never had a plan in the first place. But if you started with a plan, then the chances are that you got what you planned for, or you got almost what you planned for, maybe a little bit short, but you still got something out of it. And maybe some those of you who planned for it and then you find that you actually got more because you were able to, you know, do more ibadah and so on and so forth. So this is therefore the importance of planning. And that applies across the board. As I said, we are relating Ramadan to the rest of our life. So just as in Ramadan, the lesson learnt is that if I planned for Ramadan, then at the end of it, now when I sit and take stock, and I am recommending that, yesterday I told you, make a list of all the things that you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Did anybody make that list? Or no? This is the end of the day. The difference between the person who succeeds and the person who fails is not how much they know, but how much they do. The difference between the one who succeeds and the one who fails is not how much they know. It's how much they implement, how much they actually do. Knowledge by itself does not help anybody. Iblis had a lot of knowledge. It landed him in Jahannam. Right? So, and a lot of people, inshallah, may Allah include us among them, will inshallah land in Jannah with not even a fraction of the knowledge of Iblis. So knowledge alone does not help. Knowledge which is acted upon helps. Only that part. What you don't act upon doesn't help you. So yesterday I told you, make a list of the things that you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Now that will help you only if you do it. Now if you simply listen to the fajr reminder and go home and you do nothing, then it's a waste of your time. So my suggestion is, please don't do that. Make sure you actually take some action. So today I'm asking this question and saying, first of all, complete yesterday's assignment, and then ask yourself, what was my plan at the beginning of Ramadan? Did I have a plan at all? And if I had a plan, what was this plan? And according to me, a plan that is not written down is not a plan. So if you have a plan, you must write it down. Just having a, you know, vague good intention in your mind is not enough, because all that forms into some cloud and vanishes somewhere. So it's essential to write this plan down. So did you have a written plan? If you did not have a written plan, now make this into a lesson for yourself and say that going forward in life, whatever I want to do, I am going to make a written plan. This is what I will do. It's okay to make a plan and then later on to change the plan because circumstances change or you decide to do something, no problem. But start with something. Start with a framework. Don't just go through life, you know, mindlessly, because then it's very easy to get distracted. Because then everything which is attractive will draw you towards it, and you know, you are constantly like a butterfly going from flower to flower and getting nothing out of it. So it is essential to make a plan and then work according to that plan. So then what happens is that even if there are distractions, even if something else attracts you, you have something to compare that with. And you say, no, hold on. This is what, for example, I'm sitting and reading Quran. I made a plan to say I'm going to read one juz today. And then my phone beeps. So should I pick up the phone or should I not pick up the phone? But if I never had a plan in the first place, you pick up the phone and then it beeps again and then there's some other notification and something else happens and so on and so on. And at the end of that, you find that you spent this 1 hour or whatever you had kept for reading Quran and you read maybe 2 pages and another 18 pages are still left and now there's no hope of catching up on that. But if you have a plan, you say, no, this 1 hour is mine. So I'm going to shut the phone off or I'm going to put it on silent, let it beep, let it do whatever it wants. The world is not going to end. And the rate at which the world is going, if it ends, it's probably a good thing. So, let me finish my reading, then I will look at the phone. And the same thing applies, I'm giving you just one example, but the same thing applies to whatever else you do in life. If you have a plan, there is something to compare and say that, should I do this or not? Why? Because I'm comparing it to what I had originally planned and I now have a framework and I have a criterion to judge and say, is this important, is it not important? But if you never had a plan, then you are all over the place. So first and foremost, that's the plan. Second thing is, and this is an assignment for today and tomorrow we will complete this, which is that list down the life changes you made in terms of your daily timetable, thanks to Ramadan. Now this was not even intentional because you were fasting, so you had to get up early, whether you liked it or not, otherwise you had to go hungry without suhoor. So, you know, there was a price to pay. So you start getting up early. You probably never woke up that time, but you did that. Because you got up early, you also probably prayed tahajjud. In these last 10 days anyway, people come and pray Qiyamul Layl. So you did that. But even before that, probably you prayed at least 2 rakat of tahajjud because you were up early anyway. So these are some life changes that you made. Right? Your food, eating became extremely disciplined. Because you can only eat at 2 times, you can eat in the morning and you can eat only in the evening. Now, of course, there are people who eat in the evening and they eat all the way to the morning. So, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, you know, sensible people. So, food eating habits became very disciplined. Because the time window is short, both morning and evening, even after those who pray Tarawih, so after, Maghrib, the time for Iftar and then you have to go to the Masjid for Tarawih, is not too much of time. So your eating also became disciplined. You spent a short time in eating. One of the reasons why we feel that in Ramadan there's a lot of barakah in time gives us the idea how much time we actually spend eating. You know, our lunches and our teas in between and whatnot takes up a lot of time. So all of that is out in Ramadan. So food eating became disciplined. Also because you were fasting and so on, you probably paid some attention to saying what should I eat and what should I not eat, which are good things to eat and which are things which are, if I eat now in suhoor, then it's going to give me trouble all through the day and I can't do anything about that because I can't take any, you know, you start becoming airborne or something, then you know you can't do anything for creating the dealing with the so so very, very important. So this happened, which is your eating habits and discipline changed. Then being particular about salah. I would love to see you guys here on Thursday morning at this time and on Friday morning and on Saturday morning and as long as I am alive in this masjid. Think about that, because this is Ramadan is very easy. Ramadan, you got a whole masjid full of people. The other day I took, Umar took a photograph of Fajr reminder in progress. So, and he sent it off to our group. So the whole world thinks that Fajr reminder is this massive crowd and, you know, people, they don't know our Fajr reminder is usually about 3 people sitting in front. So now they will know this because I said it. This is the truth, alhamdulillah. But I'm just saying that this is the tragedy of masajid. That's why I sometimes say that the Yawmul Eid, the day of rejoicing for Eid, if the masjid had a tongue, if the masjid had a voice, the masajid would cry. They would say, Allah, why did this Eid come? This is not a day of happiness, it's a day of sadness. Because I know from today I will be empty till next Ramadan. And globally this is the issue. Why? Because Muslims don't want to get up for Salat al-Fajr. They don't want to pray in the masajid. But alhamdulillah, we try to do that. And in Ramadan, we had this discipline, so we prayed our salawat in the masajid. So this is another thing we get out of that, and this is what we need to continue. So you need to continue in terms of your waking up and sleeping habits, in terms of your eating habits, in terms of being particular about salah in the masjid, especially for the men, very, very important. I'm not saying come and pray here all the way. There's no sanctity about this masjid, but whichever masjid, go and pray your salawat in the masjid, especially Salatul Fajr. And if you pray Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah in the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the reward for worshipping all night. You pray anyway. My point is, alhamdulillah, all of you guys, you're not people who don't pray. You're people who pray. Just make sure you pray that Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr in the masjid. That's it. And you got the reward for praying all night. Now imagine, the day we will realize this is when we start before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where in the Amal you will find, my God, you know, this guy prayed all night for 50 years. I said, how could he have prayed all night for 50 years? How come he never slept for 50 years? The man just prayed all night, 50 years. This is what he was doing. He prayed Salatul Isha and he prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid. So it gets written into his account, 50 years of praying all night. Although he was sleeping peacefully all night. I'm not even talking about tahajjud. I mean, if he gets up for tahajjud, even better, obviously. Because as we said yesterday, I mentioned in the talk to Allah. The hadith of Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a manner that pleases him and is in keeping with his majesty and grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is there? Who is there who will answer me? Who is there who needs anything from me? Because I am ready to give it. Who is there who needs my protection? I am ready to protect. What more do you want? What more do you want? So, alhamdulillah, we prayed tahajjud. We started praying in the masjid. Then the other thing which we did, alhamdulillah, is we controlled our tongue. Right? We did not curse and we didn't lie and cheat and we didn't gossip and we didn't, even if somebody was nasty to us, we did not curse him back or something. We said, no, I am fasting. I will not do that. So what must we do now for the rest of the year? Alhamdulillah, Ramzan is over now. I can do that for 15 minutes without repeating myself. No, we have to change. We have to change these things. So alhamdulillah, Ramzan came as a training session. Ramadan came as a training session for habit change. And these are some of the habits that we change for ourselves. We learn to change together. Then we also were very careful about what we see and what we hear. Right? So obviously, hopefully Muslims with some ghairat, they did not go and watch all kinds of films and they didn't look at stuff on the internet and they didn't listen to all kinds of stuff that they should not be listening to and so on and so forth. So you were careful with all that. And now what? Salaam alaikum Ramadan. Goodbye Ramadan and good morning Bon Jovi. Seriously, we have to change our ways. So what was prohibited in Ramadan except for that which was halal, for example eating and drinking and so on, which became prohibited because of the fasting. Everything else which is prohibited in Ramadan remains prohibited out of Ramadan. Since when is riba halal? Since when is lying and cheating halal? Since when is watching haram things halal? Since when is listening to haram stuff halal? It's not. It is haram. Now, in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all this together and said, look, this is how you change your life. Till now, you were doing some stuff, doesn't matter. Now, you made tawbah, you made all this dua, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our imams for making the dua on our behalf. And so we say, Ameen. So, alhamdulillah, we did all of this. So now, inshallah, al-musta'an, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man who fasts and who observes Ramadan with iman wal ihtisab, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins. And we ask Allah to take us out of Ramadan completely purified from all our sins because we make tawbah. And we should make tawbah before we leave here. Now it makes no sense whatsoever to again dirty yourself. You're wearing these nice, beautiful, white, clean clothes. And now you go and walk in the mud. And what sense does it make? So it's very important to preserve that cleanliness. We cleaned our souls, we cleaned our hearts, we cleaned our bodies, and we cleaned our tongues and so on and so forth. You make sure that they remain clean. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.